Ground Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org, where you can also contact me.
This is Cecilia Katchik, the former state senator who represented Greene County. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Echo System.
I'm Echo Row, who hosts Echo System. Echo System is a show on Saturdays from 3:30 to 4, and I talk to my friends and other kids, play music, and we learn about radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All together now. Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now?
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, August 28, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Trump finally speaks about the loss of Senator John McCain. Also on the Monday rundown, federal court appointees affecting workers' rights, a coal ash ruling called a victory over toxic pollution, and in South Dakota, the TIPS program aimed at poachers and not hunters. First, our top story. After ignoring repeated questions all day about whether he would say anything about his political nemesis John McCain, Yahoo News reports President Donald Trump finally did speak about him Monday, saying our hearts and prayers are going to the family of Senator John McCain, and we very much appreciate everything Senator McCain has done for our country. Yahoo adds the president's comments came a few hours after the White House abruptly returned its flag to half-staff Monday afternoon in honor of the late senator. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh will begin confirmation hearings next week. Eric Tegadoff's been talking to a legal expert who says President Trump already has made a big impact on the judiciary and workers' rights are hurting for it.
Trump has far outpaced previous presidents at this point in his presidency with 26 appeals court appointments. His nominees make up one of every seven judges on these courts nationwide. Larry Shannon with the Washington State Association for Justice says these lower court judges are bound to follow recent Supreme Court rulings that have hurt workers, including allowing forced arbitration and the Janus decision on unions.
Assuming that Kavanaugh gets confirmed, I'm not sure how much it changes what is already a very dramatic slide towards putting corporate rights, for instance, over everything else. We've already started down that road.
Shannon notes appellate judges nationwide hear a lot of cases, reaching nearly 60,000 in 2017. In comparison, the Supreme Court typically hears about 80 each year. While Trump has appointed a large number of appeals court judges, as well as Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, he lags behind past presidents for district court appointees. Shannon says it's not just the Trump administration affecting the judiciary. The U.S. Senate has streamlined the process for appointing federal judges. Shannon says this could be thought of as a political decision, but more important is the fact that some of these candidates appear to be unqualified.
You could speculate, is it political or not? A question of, are these the best people we can find to do these jobs?
Last week, the American Bar Association rated one of Trump's district court nominees unqualified. That's the fourth judge picked by the president to receive such a negative rating. Now from the New York Times, a divided panel of three federal judges again declared North Carolina's congressional map unconstitutional on Monday. The decision, which may have major implications for control of the House, set the stage for a likely election year appeal to the Supreme Court, which is now evenly split on ideological lines and lacks a ninth justice to tip the balance. A federal appeals court has ruled the EPA rules governing coal ash pits do not adequately protect from toxic pollution flowing into rivers and streams.
The Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. has ordered the EPA to revise the Obama-era rule to properly address the health and environmental threat of coal ash dump sites. According to Lisa Evans, senior counsel with the environmental law firm Earth Justice, that means more than 900 unlined coal ash ponds currently in use around the country need to have stronger protections and may be forced to close.
Plus, in a really important part of the decision, the court ruled that ponds that are sitting at plants that retired before the effective date of the rule also have to be addressed by EPA.
The industry had argued that the 2015 rule is too stringent. Last month, the Trump administration published revisions to the rule that would make it weaker rather than stronger.
Earth Justice has filed more than 100 lawsuits challenging Trump administration attempts to roll back environmental protections. Ending net metering is killing investment in solar power in New York. That's the message industry leaders and advocates are sending to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Community groups and solar developers are urging the governor to restore net metering for large-scale community solar projects. Almost a year ago, the Public Service Commission replaced net metering with a complex system called Value of Distributed Energy Resources. According to Adam Flint with the New York Energy Democracy Alliance, since then, more than $800 million worth of investment in community solar has been threatened or canceled.
We're calling on the governor to use his authority to restore the option for net metering so that these many millions of dollars of investment and hundreds, perhaps thousands of jobs can be saved.
Legislation to restore net metering has passed in the State Assembly in New York, but did not clear the State Senate. And finally, Ross Brown reports the start of hunting season for various South Dakota game is just days away. Residents are being reminded about a hotline to call if they observe any illegal hunting, fishing, or trapping activity.
South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Officer Joe Keaton says last year's number of arrests through the turn-in poachers or tips hotline was the highest in program history. He says while the program offers rewards, many people call because they can't live with their conscience if they don't.
They're calling it in because it's the right thing to do, not because they want a reward, but we still really push those rewards to people because we want to get that message out there that it protects our wildlife resources.
Funds distributed by South Dakota's TIPS program are donated through a nonprofit called Wildlife Protection Incorporated. It was started by a group of citizens after a 1984 elk poaching in the Black Hills.
In the past year, the TIPS program led to 146 arrests and $31,000 in fines. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 89, a low around 72. Hot again on Wednesday with mostly sunny skies and a high near 88. Then Wednesday night, there's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 69. Thursday, again, a 40% chance of rain, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 77 and a low around 60. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
There's a Summer Minecraft Club at the Hudson Area Library Wednesday, August 29th, 2 to 4 p.m. The Andy Cooney Band is back at Gavin's Irish Country Inn, August 29th and August 30th. Wednesday, August 29th, the Hot Dog Boat Show is back at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale. It's a collaborative open mic hosted by Bert Murder. All instruments are provided, and there are occasional prizes. That's from 8 to 10:30 p.m. at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale, Wednesday, August 29th. Bobby Pervitt's Blueprints is back at High Low in Catskill, Thursday, August 30th, 8 p.m., Hudson Valley composer and drummer leads a conceptual performance with a variety of local improvisers. And there'll be a live web stream of that on the WGXC website at WGXC.org. Any WGXC.org page, click on Listen Now to listen to Bobby Privet's Blueprints. Thursday, August 30th from High Low in Catskill. Tune in or turn out. Friday, August 31st, the Hudson Area Library has a job search help. The Catskill Farmers Market is back at Dutchman's Landing Friday, August 31st from 4 to 7 p.m. Massachusetts-based band Bella's Bar Talk performs at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock Friday, August 31st. There's a People for Peace dance party Friday, August 31st with a live set from RRB and then DJ sets from DJ Faluthala and DJ SVB. That's at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale, 8 p.m., Friday, August 31st. Taste of East Durham is from 3 to 8 p.m., Saturday, September 1st. Spotty Dog Books and Ale also has Fame Swaz, Remise, and Ifitayo performing 8 to 10 p.m., Saturday, September 1st. Fame Swaz is a rapper and artist located in Hudson, and I guess Remix Les Rebelles is also. The Catskill Point is the Galleon service. Galleon? Hard to pronounce. All are welcome to join the First Reformed Church of Catskill and the United Methodist Church of Catskill for a service on the water at the historic Catskill Point. 10 a.m. Sunday, September 2nd. Catskill Point. Monday, September 3rd, the band Tuba Skinny is back in town at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. I'm Tom Rowe. Tune in to me and my friend Henry the Hudson Whale on Friday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show, 9 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Acre at 90.7 FM.
I just heard some terrible news, honey.
What's that, dear?
WGXC is going off the air.
Oh no, they didn't get my donation of 45 cents and a cup of old coffee.
Ah, well, you can go to the website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and give them a donation. You can do it monthly, online, by check. You can even give them your...
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WOOC correspondent Aaron Padnati provides coverage and analysis of the recent revocation of Spectrum's franchise to provide cable in New York State.
I'm Aaron Padnati, and for today's Monday media segment, I'm doing something a little different than what I normally do. Regular listeners to the Hudson Mohawk Evening Magazine will know that my segments usually involve interviews with local professionals and activists whose work has something to do with the media. Today, I am instead going to provide some coverage and interpretive commentary on an important news story about cable service in New York State, namely the revocation of Spectrum's franchise to provide cable in New York by the state's Public Service Commission. When I first started working on this segment, I reached out to the Public Service Commission to see if anyone there would be up for discussing this decision in an interview, but their public relations people turned me down. They did, however, provide me with a link to a publicly available recording of the special session in which the decision was approved on July 27th of this year. And what we're about to hear, John Sipos, the acting general counsel for the Public Service Commission, proposes two items to the department's commissioners and explains the reason that he is doing so. The commissioners then vote unanimously in favor of enforcing them. These measures are both directed at Charter Communications, a cable provider whose recent merger with Time Warner Cable was approved by the commission in 2016, resulting in the creation of the corporation that is now known as Spectrum. The measures include a civil enforcement case against Charter for failing to meet obligations entailed by its merger with Time Warner and the revocation of Charter's approval to operate in New York State. Here's the recording of the hearing.
Good afternoon, Chair Rhodes and commissioners. There are two items before the commissioner today in case 15M0388. The first item, number 501A, concerns a proposed order for the commission's consideration that, among other things, directs the commission's counsel to initiate an affirmative civil enforcement case against Charter Communications for various violations of the commission's January 2016 order that approved the merger of Time Warner Cable and Charter Communications, subject to specific conditions and obligations. A central and critical condition in the commission's January 2016 approval order required Charter to expand its network so that the network would, quote, pass, close quote, an additional 145,000 unserved or underserved residential or business units in less densely populated areas of the state within 4 years of the closing of the proposed transaction, that is by 2020. This obligation is known as the network expansion condition. The approval order required that Charter complete no less than 25% of this total in each of the 4 years. And as a first step, Charter was required to pass 36,250 residential and or business units by May 18, 2017. However, Charter failed to achieve that requirement. And as a result of that failure, the Commission and Charter entered into a settlement agreement establishing revised binding network build-out obligations. Pursuant to the settlement agreement, Charter was, among other things, required to meet new milestones by passing 36,771 residential or business units by December 16, 2017, and 58,417 residential or business units by June 18, 2018. Again, the passings were to were to occur in less densely populated areas of the state. However, Charter also failed to achieve these requirements. On June 14, 2018, following a process that included additional administrative enforcement actions, including an order to show cause, and Charter's various responses thereto, the Commission, among other things, disqualified 18,363 proposed passings from the company's December 16, 2017 build-out report that was filed on January 8, 2018, because, among other things, many of those addresses were in the densely populated urban cities within the state, including New York City. That determination caused Charter to fail to satisfy the required approximately 36,000 new passings target. There can be no dispute whatsoever that New York City is not a less densely populated area relative to other areas in New York State. In fact, it is the most densely populated area. On July 9, 2018, Charter submitted its update and bulk address report, which provided the Commission with the company's purported number of additional passings as of June 18, 2018, and an update of its compliance status concerning the build-out plan. Following Charter's most recent filing, the department staff initiated further review of the passing addresses contained therein. And based on Charter submissions, it is staff's position that Charter has not provided the required public interest benefit for upstate New York counties and communities, and that Charter thus has not complied with its regulatory obligations and requirements. By way of example, it is staff's position that Charter's actions and accounting practices have negatively impacted citizens living in various counties such as Yates, Steuben, Niagara, Genesee, Franklin, and Clinton counties. And that is because there's an inverse relationship. For addresses that are in New York City, if they are to be added, there are addresses in upstate areas that are subtracted. The draft order before the Commission today provides a pathway for the Commission to determine that Charter has failed to satisfy the settlement agreement's June 18, 2018 target by more than 22,000 passings, and furthermore, that Charter has not made sufficient good cause showing for this latest miss. And as a result, the draft order addresses also the forfeiture of $1 million from the letter of credit facility under the 2017 settlement agreement. In addition, the draft order discusses the termination of the settlement agreement's, quote, sole remedy, close quote, provision. And lastly, in light of the repeated ongoing and expanding violations of the regulatory requirements, the draft order directs the counsel to the Commission to commence an affirmative civil litigation in New York State Supreme Court pursuant to public service law in the name of the Commission and the people of the state of New York to seek the imposition of civil financial penalties for such violations and an injunction to compel Charter to comply with the June 18, 2018 requirement. Civil financial penalties are a means to vindicate the Commission's regulatory authority, penalize Charter for its violation of regulatory obligations, and, importantly, deter other regulated entities from engaging in similar conduct that violates Commission orders. This concludes the presentation on item 501A. We would be happy to answer any questions that the Commission has.
I have no questions. I find that this is a record of repeated and worsening failures and violations of the order today on their performance to date, and that we absolutely must seek remedies. I find this recommendation to be appropriate and necessary, and I intend to vote in favor. Commissioner Sayre?
My comments relate to both items since they're pretty well intertwined. I can say that I'm very sorry that we have to take these steps, but I'm convinced that we have to take these steps. From my viewpoint, it appears that Charter decided, apparently for financial reasons, to substitute low-cost connections in New York City and some upstate cities in place of higher-cost passings in less densely populated areas. This does not meet our requirements, which Charter accepted for the build-out. It works a grave disservice to thousands of upstate customers whom Charter has removed from its build-out plan. From its latest filings, it is apparent that Charter is moving farther and farther away from its commitment, not closer. We've given Charter ample opportunities to get back on track, but it refuses to do so. Accordingly, I have concluded that these extreme steps are necessary, and I will vote in favor of the orders.
Thank you. Commissioner Ralisi.
Thank you. It's actually sad for me to say that I can endorse this and that I will be supporting it. We never like to see such strong action taken against a business, but in the case of a business that is not doing what it says it was going to do, it's not just hollow promises. It is also working to the detriment of those people that were seriously and hopefully relying on the opportunity to have reliable service. And for other reasons as stated earlier, but I will be supporting the initiative.
Thank you very much. John, can you proceed to the next item?
So that was John Sipos, the acting general counsel for the Public Service Commission, proposing the first of two items to penalize Charter Communications for its failure to meet its obligations in New York State. Before getting to the second item, I'm going to provide a slightly simplified summary of the presentation that breaks it down in a less mathematically detailed way. In essence, it goes like this. When the Public Service Commission approved the merger of Time Warner and Charter Communications back in January of 2016, a major stipulation of the merger was that Charter, or Spectrum as it was now called, was required to provide service to 145,000 new customers in less densely populated parts of New York State, regions that had been previously underserved by cable companies and internet service providers. Charter failed to meet its initial benchmarks for this requirement in 2017, so the state extended their deadline, but they also failed to meet these extended benchmarks and then failed to meet additional benchmarks in 2018 by tens of thousands of customers. A major issue in this failure, which Sipos stresses repeatedly in his presentation, is that Charter expanded its network in densely populated parts of the state, particularly in New York City, while neglecting underserved counties upstate. And as one of the commissioners points out in his comments, there was an obvious financial motivation for doing this because providing service in densely populated areas is less expensive and more financially rewarding than doing so in more sparsely populated and underserved counties with an underdeveloped network infrastructure. For these reasons, Sipos proposes a financial penalty against Charter, and once the commissioners have voted unanimously to support it, he goes on to propose a second measure, which is to completely revoke Charter's approval to operate in New York State. Since most of the reasons that he gives for this revocation overlap with those in his first presentation, I'm going to skip ahead and focus on his most dramatic indictments of Charter's business practices.
Over the last 2 years, Charter has, among other things, obscured and obfuscated its build-out performance, not complied with safety standards, and sought to use its limited and conditional acceptances of the approval order to effectively change the terms of that order. A review of Charter's conduct over the past 2 years reflects, unfortunately, an absence of an unconditional commitment to compliance to the New York regulatory framework and the company's obligation. The continued efforts, among other things, to use the New York City locations and thereby exclude unserved and underserved areas in upstate New York also reflects a lack of commitment to compliance. In short, Charter has had repeated opportunities to demonstrate its commitment to the Commission's approval order and settlement order to modify its build-out actions to comply with the network expansion condition and also advance the public's interest. But it has not. For the reasons discussed in the draft order, Charter has consistently violated the approval order and the Commission's laws and regulations. Those repeated violations support the rescission and revocation of the January 8, 2016 approval order and require that Charter cease operations in New York subject to the conditions laid out in the draft order in the public service law.
The commissioners again voted unanimously in favor of this proposed measure, and the chair of the commission was emphatic in his support of it. This is what he said.
I find that the company's conduct and deliberate and sustained failure to perform and continued and sustained violation of its commitments is simply not serving New Yorkers, nor is it serving our public interest standard. We need to seek a different provider.
So to close out this segment, I will briefly address two questions that arise while listening to it. First, since Sipos is talking about Time Warner and Charter as a merged corporate entity throughout his presentation, why doesn't he refer to it as Spectrum?
Deborah from Athens. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in ACRA, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Next, we have these reports.
Catskill's Sacred Harp Musical Association has Shape Note singing every month on the fourth Tuesdays of the month at 7 p.m. in Kingston at the Holy Cross Episcopal Church on Pine Grove Avenue in Kingston. Here's Restoration 312B from Lissa Harris, Julia Reichel, and Ben Fenton.
I will rise and go to Jesus. He'll embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh, fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. I will rise and go to Jesus. He'll embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. I will rise and go to Jesus. He'll embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
I am the magic stranger. I'm here with special guest, Reckless Eric. You want to play a track from your new record, Eric?
Well,
we got some other stuff we can play, too.
My stuff is all kind of joined together. I mean, I don't want to inflict this on anyone. You know?
Oh, yes, please do.
It's all kind of, because, like, thing is that, like, I made this record very quickly without thinking too much about it.
Well, that's good.
It's a good thing. If you can engineer that situation, that's the best way to make a record in some ways, I think. And I wrote most of the songs on the piano, but I had to kind of learn to play the piano while I was, like, writing the songs, really, because I've never been a very good piano player. So, yeah, I know Amy does that, you know, but, I don't know. So I did anyway. On a Wurlitz electric piano, and I figured it all out and wrote these songs and didn't think about it, and I really kind of like recorded it. It's like, because Jeremy the drummer would come up and we'd just do stuff, and like, you know, I'd just kind of hope for the best and edit it all together when he'd gone or whatever, or he'd persuade me that we really should do a second take, and it's all live vocals, and but it's kind of, it's a mixture of live and cut up somehow.
I'm curious to hear it, because the songs you played in Woodstock were all so great, dynamic too. And I wonder what the studio recording sound like compared to the live. You never know.
I don't know. I mean, like, I might
want to know.
Yeah, dead slick, I should think. Right, well, here we go. There's two songs. We can play two songs in a row because they're kind of joined together.
Okay.
That's all right. They don't mean no harm, but that don't make them harmless. Dark ages of man.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from Reckless Eric's new record. What's the name of your new record?
Construction Time and Demolition.
Oh, that's appropriate. It sounded like a construction site a little bit.
It did, didn't it? Yeah. that's the name of it, yeah. Some of the stuff's different to that on there, but I don't know how different.
Well, Bebop-a-Luna, she's my baby. Bebop-a-Luna, I don't mean my baby.
Do you have a secret stash of records, CDs, tapes, radios, or audio equipment ready for a new home? Support WGXC by donating your goods to the WGXC table at the 2018 WGXC Record Fair, coming up at Basilica Hudson September 16th. Donations of any size are welcome. Unburden yourself. It's tax deductible. To arrange a pickup or drop-off, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call our Hudson studio at 518-697-7400. That's recordfair@wgxc.org. For more information about the fair and becoming a vendor, visit our website at wgxc.org/recordfair.
I don't like your peaches, they are full of stones. I like bananas because they have no bones. Don't give me tomatoes, can't stand ice cream cones. I like bananas because they have no bones.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Apria Automotive Shop on Route 39 in Round Top was destroyed by fire August 26th. Round Top Assistant Fire Chief Eddie Masterman said the fire department was dispatched at 1 p.m. and shop owner Jerry Apria was present and working in the garage when the blaze started. Masterman said, and I quote, "Something let loose in the other room. They, the owners, attempted to put it out before they called us," end quote. The cause of the fire has not been determined, but it was not thought to be suspicious, Masterman said. No one was injured in the blaze. Apria said the business was not insured to rebuild and estimated it would cost $1 million to restore it. Apria said he did learn a valuable lesson. Never bring gasoline inside a building. He said, and I quote, "That's what did it, and it was around the corner, but it didn't matter. The fumes came out and they caught us. Who knows what happened," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Wendy Liberatore is reporting for the Times Union. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand answered random questions on everything from President Donald Trump to guns at a town hall meeting held at Hudson Valley Community College August 26. Speaking at the McDowell Sports Complex, Gillibrand thanked her colleague and late Senator John McCain for his service to the country as a veteran and as an, and I quote, "extraordinary leader who did the right thing," end quote. She then spoke of the shooting at a video game tournament over the weekend in Jacksonville, Florida, where three people were killed, including the gunman. She said, and I quote, "This is a scourge on our society, and Congress has done nothing. It's outrageous, and people need to speak out against this in November and to fight back against the people who do nothing in the face of this violence, end quote. Gillibrand answered questions from the crowd of 500 for about 70 minutes, but the name of her challenger, Republican Sheely Farley, never came up. Gillibrand urged the crowd to vote in the upcoming election to win back Congress for the Democrats to successfully fight what is going on in the White House, citing the president's undercutting of free speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and undermining equality. Gillibrand went largely unchallenged during the event, answering questions on Trump's potential impeachment, Space Force, Puerto Rico, guns in schools, paid family leave, and the effort to block Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. She said the two main objectives are to pave the way for Medicare for all and to get the money out of politics. Read the full story in the Times Union. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The real estate firm Houlihan Lawrence recently announced the sale of 25 acres of land located adjacent to the Catamount Ski Area in Hillsdale. The parcel includes a 100-year-old single-family farmhouse, a barn, and an 8-unit apartment building. The purchase price was $645,000. The identity of the buyer has not been disclosed. Andrew Gates, Houlihan Lawrence agent who handled the sale, said in a statement the property, and I quote, generated a lot of interest from people who thought there might be some kind of development play to be made with the Catamount Ski Area, end quote. Gates said he did not know what the new owners would do with the parcel. In the spring, Berkshire East Mountain Resort purchased nearly 400 acres in the Catamount area from the Gilbert and Edwards families. Berkshire East Mountain Resort previously announced it intends to improve amenities and summer activities at Catamount. The resort's 36 trails and 7 lifts provide access to the mountain, which has a 1,000-foot drop. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a heat advisory from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on both Tuesday, August 28th, and Wednesday, August 29th, throughout the WGXC listening area and the Greater Capital District. Heat index values are expected to be in the mid-90s to low 100s due to temperatures in the upper 80s to lower 90s and dew points in the lower 70s. The combination of heat and high humidity levels may cause heat stress or other heat-related illness. Everyone is advised to drink plenty of fluids, stay in an air-conditioned room if possible, and out of the sun, and to check up on relatives and neighbors. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 89, a low around 72. Hot again on Wednesday with mostly sunny skies and a high near 88. Then Wednesday night there's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 69. Thursday again a 40% chance of rain, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 77 and a low around 60. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported creative community radio. Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
Senator Kristen Gillibrand held a town hall in Troy on Sunday where she criticized Congress for its failure to take action on gun control and mass shootings. She said her two issue priorities were Medicare for all and getting money out of politics.
The Times Union reports that New York's local prosecutors said they are prepared to help the state attorney general investigate allegations of abuse by priests. The offer came from Albany County District Attorney David Soares, president of the District Attorneys Association of New York State. Soares said Attorney General Barbara Underwood's office last week contacted the state's district attorneys to enlist their aid as a preliminary step into investigating sex abuse by Catholic priests in New York.
On Friday, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation amending the state law governing what punishments can be imposed for violations of local law. Local governing bodies can now pass local laws that are punishable by community service, according to the bill memorandum. The state law previously only allowed a judge in these cases to impose a civil penalty, a fine, forfeiture, or imprisonment. The American Civil Liberties Union is opposing an effort by New York Governor Cuomo to have a court dismiss a federal lawsuit filed by the National Rifle Association against the state of New York. A brief filed on Friday by the ACLU argues that the NRA has a right to move forward with the claim that state regulators violated its First Amendment rights by sabotaging its financial stability. The lawsuit maintains that Cuomo used the State Department of Financial Services to discourage banks and insurers from conducting businesses with the NRA. The ACLU brief states the following. Although public officials are free to express their opinions and may condemn viewpoints or groups that they view as inimical to public welfare, they cannot abuse their regulatory authority to retaliate against disfavored advocacy organizations and to impose burdens on those organizations' ability to conduct lawful business.
Pets in New York now have eviction protections in a law signed on Friday by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The legislation from Senator Jim Tedisco, a Glenville Republican, and Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal, a Manhattan Democrat, requires officers executing an eviction to check the property for companion animals and help arrange the safe removal of the animals. The new law takes effect immediately.
At news conferences across the state today, community groups and solar developers are urging the governor to restore net metering for large-scale community solar projects. Almost a year ago, the Public Service Commission replaced net metering with a complex system called Value of Distributed Energy Resources, or VDER. According to Adam Flint with the New York Energy Democracy Alliance, since then, more than $800 million worth of investment in community solar has been threatened or canceled.
We're calling on the governor to use his authority to restore the option for net metering so that these many millions of dollars of investment and hundreds, perhaps thousands of jobs can be saved.
Legislation to restore net metering has passed in the state assembly but did not clear the state senate. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, August 27th, Pete Levensey starts the day in Catskill with the WGXC morning show from 9 to 11 a.m., followed by The Forgotten Geek with Corey McCasland from 11 until noon. Neve Wartell is live after the noon news headlines until 2 o'clock with Music for the Masses. And at 2 on Backtracks in Time, Jack Sensabaugh will be talking with historian Ted Hilscher. Michael Wilde is back in the evening at 7 o'clock, live in the Hudson studio until 9:30, followed by Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward until midnight.
Tune in the early morning hours of Wednesday, August 29th for Transmission Art on the Air. Radio Stew at midnight after the news, then the Vital Weekly Show with experimental music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m., Radio News at 5 a.m., overnight on Wavefarm, Standing Wave Radio, and WGXC.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.